You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Audio files are available online at NativeTalk.net. Broadcasting from a big stick on top of a big building with red flashing lights so planes don't hit it. Be a part of the program by emailing us, podcast@NativeTalk.net. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon. More fun than going on a date with a bad cold. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning and welcome. Thanks for joining us on the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. It's been a while since I actually had Brandon here in the studio with us.
Good morning.
Where the heck you been, buddy?
Diving.
Oh, so you got your quota all pulled up.
No, not all of it.
What?
I got
you've
a good chunk
for,
taken out,
you've
though.
You've been gone for like 10 days. I thought you'd be done.
Yeah, it's way harder than it is in the summertime.
What? I thought it was so easy.
And, you know, when you can see them, when you can actually, like, look at them and identify them, so much easier. But, yeah, when they're pulled under the ground to begin with, it's a little harder to find them.
I guess I won't give you too much crap because I do
know.
Yeah,
you'll know soon enough.
All right, the email, if you want to chime in with your comments, podcast@nativetalk.net. You can also call the show, 970-278-5791, and believe it or not, we actually have a phone call.
No.
To play for you, a legit phone call, not the ridiculous one that I made up and pretended I was somebody else.
Asmodeus McCoy or whatever.
Yeah. No, I was like Mike. I was an idiot, remember?
I don't remember.
All right, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. I wanted to start this morning first, though, with a thief, a ninja thief. He's
in
from
the night?
What?
In the night?
Yeah, absolutely. He's from Japan.
Oh, Jesus.
And for the better part of a decade, there has been an agile black-clad ninja thief that has been eluding police in Osaka, Japan. And he's been pulling off burglary after burglary after burglary.
What's he been stealing?
Well, he's been stealing basically just like stuff from shops. He goes into like electronic shops, steals, you know, cash out of the drawer if you leave it. You know, TVs. Just think of your average shop. Apparently, over the last 10 years, he's stolen an estimated $250,000 worth of goods and money. He's been breaking into homes, businesses, beginning in 2009, often while demonstrating a remarkable agility by running along the tops of the walls. So they see him, they try to catch him, he's running across the walls.
It's Neo.
Oh my gosh.
It's like if Neo from the Matrix just took up a life of crime.
Yeah, so he has been known as the Ninja of Heisei, and he's been caught.
So oh no.
His thieving,
well, I guess he wasn't that agile.
His thieving days have come to an end. He was finally caught by police, who got a huge surprise. Turned out he's 74-year-old Mitsuaki Tanigawa, who said, "I thought I would never be caught."
Yeah, now he'll just be like the guy with the most cigarettes in prison. No one will be able to figure out why.
Wait, what? Why will he have so many cigarettes?
He's a thief. He's a ninja. He steals them.
Okay.
That's the point of the story. Never mind. His thieving days aren't over. Prison bars can't hold him back.
74 years old, man. That's pretty incredible to do that at that old. When I'm 74, I'm going to be like... I'm sorry, guys. I got a little baby here.
Yeah, he's running a child slave ring out of his basement. He's got to take care of him during the radio show. It's all very hush-hush.
Anyway, but yeah, at 74, when I'm that old, I'm probably going to be having trouble using the bathroom by myself.
That's probably why he got caught. I bet if he had been doing this... You know, he probably has been doing this since he was a young man, and they only just found out that he was stealing only 10 years ago when he started slipping.
Maybe he just started doing the ninja thing in 2009. Anyway, let's get to listener mail. Let's do hate mail first. I'm writing this letter because I want you to know how much I hate your stupid show. Hate mail, hate mail, hate mail, hate mail. You suck. Yes, occasionally we get mail from people who don't like what we talk about. And last week, as you know, Brandon, I talked about it was the women pile. Because,
oh, God, I never listened to that, but you told me what you were going to say or how you were going to say it.
Yeah, well, there was one story that seemed to bother people, which was about women like men with low voices. And even when they know that men with low voices, they feel like they have more testosterone, which makes them more likely to cheat. And the women say, I don't care. I like him anyway. Deep voice, I like it. And
yeah, cheating douchebags get girls all the time.
How, though? Why?
I haven't figured out the self-loathing that goes along with it. Like this need to be needed by someone who doesn't want you. I don't get that yet, but there's something mixed in there where the more a dude doesn't care about you, the more you want to have his approval or something like that.
But according to the study that they did, it's only for short term. So like if you're a woman looking for like a short term one night stand type of a fling, you're going to choose these men more. Whereas if you're looking for like a long term relationship, you're going to be more attracted to men with higher voices. So.
Interesting. So that's the story that got people pissed off yesterday.
Yeah, Renee says, excuse me, why would anyone like cheating men? I don't think so. I don't think this show should be allowed. Natives don't lie about anything. There's no place for this here. Too much fakeness and untruth these days. So
was that the entire letter?
That was the entire letter.
Wow. Wow. So... okay, all right. I just want to address one thing first and foremost. Native American people, they sometimes, just like other humans, they tell lies.
It does happen.
It does happen. It's been known to happen.
And I like how she bases this, you know, why would anyone like cheating men? I don't think so. So, yeah, this show shouldn't be allowed. We shouldn't be allowed to talk because natives don't lie about anything. And apparently I'm lying about women liking men with low voices. So
if I remember our history, your and my history, somewhere up our parentage, wasn't there a great grandma who was with a man who had a family and like he left their family for our,
I heard something about that. Yeah.
It's one of those family dirt that they people like to keep under the rug, so I don't know a whole lot about it, but I'm pretty sure our great grandmother, a full-blooded Native American woman, left her tribal lands and her people with a man who, you know, was in another relationship. For some reason that guy was wanted by two girls even though he was a cheater.
Hey, my point with this is it's just a fun little story, you guys. I just, something like you throw out there at the beginning of the show before you get to like the meat of things, just, I wouldn't take it too seriously. Amanda says, I usually don't comment, but you, sir, are no expert on women.
That's the truth.
I was kidding around. I referred to myself as a women's expert. Clearly was not being serious.
I loved it. I loved it when you texted me saying that you were going to pose as an expert on women. That gave me a hearty belly laugh. Just trying to picture Clifton being an expert on anything, let alone women.
Jocelyn says, what are you talking about on this thing? Expert on women? I don't think so. Men don't know nothing about makeup anyways. Makeup makes me feel good and I look good, so I don't care.
Kate. Oh, man, I'm so happy I wasn't involved in a makeup conversation.
Well, I think it was women who wear makeup are viewed as more trustworthy, honest, and, you know, people. And it doesn't matter what look they are. Woman with no makeup versus women with any of the three makeup looks that they had are viewed as funnier, happier, more honest, you know, more likely to be talked to. And they,
so women with no makeup get approached easier, basically.
No, women with no makeup get approached less.
They're crap.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what look you wear. So,
whoa. Yeah, because I remember an argument that I had with your wife when you were, I don't think you were married to her yet, or you were
no,
just
I was
barely
married.
Married.
Yeah, we were married for a little while, but
But at any rate, that was back when I was still drinking alcohol, and I was up very late at night with a lot of alcohol in my system.
Never a good combination.
No, those two things don't go together well. And she was and is like an aspiring makeup artist, and she does, you know, really great things with makeup for photography. But I was comparing makeup to dirt.
Yeah,
saying that that's basically the same as rubbing dirt on your face, and how women with makeup just look so much worse than women without.
That didn't go over too well.
So I'm glad I wasn't part of that conversation.
All right, let's do regular listener mail now. We only have two letters. This one, well, the second one's long. That includes the phone call. This one is from our Aunt Terry.
Aunt Terry, hello.
She wrote me on Facebook and said, "It's so wonderful to have my handsome nephew as my Facebook friend. It's been great and interesting to see and listen to your posts and how you share very interesting views on such a wide scale of different topics. I'm so proud of you guys and love you and your beautiful family." Well, thank you, Aunt Terry. And the next one comes from Matthew from Tempe, Arizona.
Hey, Matt.
Should we read the letter part first or listen to the call first?
I haven't heard anything about the context, which would make more sense.
Okay, well, let's start with the phone call. So he is, I think you were gone. I was doing it with Chippewa Ron. We were talking about the tribe in Illinois called the Illin. I can't pronounce it right. So he called up to let me know how to pronounce it correctly. So
thank you, God.
It is,
because that is
tough.
My biggest pet peeve with you, man, is that you do the shows or topics about other tribes, and it's like you never even thought about trying to pronounce the tribe's name before you go on the air.
It's
with
hard.
It. No, so. You try on the air. You never even practice it or like Google it.
Why would I Google it? I can just wing it.
So you don't sound like an idiot going da 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 monomonine.
All right, well, here's Matthew sending us straight on the pronunciation.
Hey, Cliff. Hey, Brandon. This is Matthew from Tempe, Arizona, just south of Phoenix. This is in regards to the episode at the beginning of September where you were talking about the Illini and Chief Illini Wek. That's the pronunciation. You weren't butchering it, but it made me chuckle a little bit because who knows how to spell I-L-L or how to pronounce I-L-L-I. So, again, it's Illini and Illini Wek. And one last thing that I would really like to add, it's a pleasure, really enjoying the podcast. It's nice to listen to something where you get to hear a commentary on Native news and not just be able to read it. So keep up the good work. Thanks a lot and take care. Cliff, Brandon, grab your nets. Let's go fishing. This is NativeTalk.net podcast.
I like it.
So anybody who wants to leave us a message, you can do so by calling 970-278-5791. It's just a message line, so you'll get the girl telling you, leave a message at the tone. Beep! And then you
what
just
a cool
talk.
First message, man. That was an awesome job, Matt.
I agree. Good job, buddy. He also wrote a letter. He says, hey, guys, I'm Matt.
We know, Matt. You just sent us a voicemail. Your name was in it. Anyway.
From a new listener from Tempe, Arizona, and I've been playing catch-up over the last few months and just listened to that episode this morning. As a non-native, I just wanted to give my two cents on the topic. Even though I have no tribal affiliation and currently live in Arizona, I did grow up in Illinois. So I wanted to draw your attention to the Illiniwek. Illiniwek. That I grew up with, which is the mascot that the University of Illinois employs. They have this basically this giant balloon that floats out onto the field, and they have the marching band who's playing their fight song. Did you hear the one with the fight song that I played before?
I may have. I don't remember.
All right, I'm going to play the fight song for you real quick. So this is the this is what the marching band plays while they're underneath a giant balloon of an Indian.
And it's in the University of Illinois.
University of Illinois. So I'm going to play that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically it. You find that offensive in any way?
It seems a little stereotypical.
Well, is stereotypical offensive, though?
It can be to some people. Stereotypes aren't terribly offensive to me personally because I just find the people that follow them to be misguided. And people are misguided about a lot of stuff, and it's not my job to go around and you know, tell them what they're doing wrong with their lives. So I kind of just brush past it and live my life the best I can with, you know, stereotypes existing. But a lot of people take huge offense to them, and they find them damaging, and they want them to stop.
Well, that's what Matthew is writing about here. He says, before the games, there would be a Caucasian student playing Indian with a long feather headdress dancing around like something from a Disney movie. There's a whole culture, pride, and mythology attached to this character of Chief Illiniwek, right? Alumni and fans believe that they were paying homage to the Indian people as a whole, the same way the End of the Trail sculpture played homage to the plight of the Indian. I'm sure a YouTube search about this would produce some results. So he's saying that, like, that they were trying to honor the Indians. And my point at the time, I believe, was that, find a tribe that's around today that you can associate yourself with more directly rather than just generically. You know what I mean?
Kind of. Are you meaning, like, people who are non-natives and they wanted to associate with tribes or
yeah, like, for example, people? if you have a university who wants to pay homage to the Indian people, I would say partner up with a local tribe and kind of like so that they know what's going on. You're basically promoting like that specific tribe.
I all the more agree with this if they get permission from local tribes.
That's what I'm talking about, exactly. Yeah. Instead of just having these generic characters, you know.
Yeah, I do agree with that. If you were going to do it, I would say that's the way to do it, yeah.
Matthew continues. He says, second, I wanted to address just a few words. I find the Native American R word. Three.
Is it rhubarb?
What?
Rhododendrons?
No. Redskin.
Oh, the R word. I get it now.
Yeah, I don't find that one offensive. Personally,
teach him, paleface brother, all about red man.
Speaking of Disney movies and headdresses,
but he said, and the S word, you know what that one is, right?
Samson and Delilah?
No, squaw.
Oh, I knew that one. Yeah, okay.
Now, actually, I do find that one more offensive, and I've been changing my mind on that one. He says, that one, of course, is a derogatory term for the female genitalia. I liken it with the C word, so, you know, that's not a good thing. It's associated with violence, and especially sexual violence directed towards indigenous women. As most of us know, sexual violence is a huge problem on the on native land, and it's made even more difficult to combat for a litany of reasons. Jurisdictional issues, poverty, historical trauma, historical legacy of violence against Native American women and children, and the fact that Americans at large are either ignorant of the issues or simply just don't care. Now, out here in Arizona, there was a Squaw Peak north of Phoenix renamed Piestewa Peak in honor of the first woman killed in the Iraq War and the first American Indian woman to die in combat in the U.S. Armed Forces. Her name was PFC Lori Piestewa from Indian Country Today reporting that. So, you know, I think that getting that word out of our lexicon and renaming mountains and peaks and ski resorts that went out in California.
Squaw Valley.
Yeah. I think that that's probably a good one that we can get rid of. I think of it like back in the old days, there was an F word associated with gay people that rhymes with Bob Saget's name.
A bundle of sticks tied together, or another name for a cigarette. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're British. But here in America, it was a derogatory term for the gays. So, and that one.
The gays. It's for the gays, you know.
What else are you supposed to call them? The poor, the rich, the British, the gays.
Jesus.
I don't know. Anyway, but that used to be an incredibly common phrase and term that people used to talk about all the time. Heck, I used that term when I was in elementary school. We used to call each other that all the time. You know?
Yeah, it was a really common insult around, you know, school times and all that. It was like calling someone a retard or dumb. You know, it's all a bad word. And, you know, that I think that's the problem with it is that it's not bad. You know, so why are we using it in a derogatory way?
So that one's been pretty much scrubbed from society. And I think that Squaw should probably take that same path. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, right here on NativeTalk.net.
The NativeTalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon.
Don't touch that dial. You don't know where it's been. You're listening to NativeTalk.net.
Our House Grief Support Center's mission is to provide the community with grief support services, education, resources, and hope. Our House, with the support of trained volunteer group leaders, helps those grieving find sweetness in the tears. With your help, you too can become a volunteer and help grieving children, teens, and adults embark on the journey to hope and healing. For more information, visit ourhouse-grief.org or call 888-417-1444.
Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No.
Oh, okay. The NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. So visit us online at nativetalk.net and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron or Hard...
The nativetalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon.
A child of five could understand our show. Quick, someone get me a child of five. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome back to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. You can call us 970-278-5791 if you would like to leave a message or email the show podcast@nativetalk.net. Now, November is Native American Heritage Month. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I'm surprised to hear that.
Yeah, so it's going to be all month, you know, some interesting things and going ons in all of the, you know, all over the place. So I think that's a good thing. And now our president has gotten involved.
Of course. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say he used Twitter as his official platform.
I'm going to give that a big ding.
Jesus
Christ. Don't you just love it when this guy gets involved? So he's proved unable to make it a full 56 hours into Native American Heritage Month without insulting people. Do you know who Senator Elizabeth Warren is?
I've heard of Elizabeth Warren many times.
Okay, yes. What do you know about her?
That my wife loves her.
I hate her. So.
I assume that in the world of politics, anything Valerie loves, you hate. I just go into life just believing that. Yeah.
Well, did you know that she's a Cherokee?
Okay.
Of course, she has absolutely no evidence to back up her claim. It appears that Warren's claims of Cherokee and Delaware Indian heritage first attracted national attention way back during her 2012 Senate run. Now, she had a lot of family stories, but she had no actual documentation of Native American ancestry to prove it, even though many Cherokee groups demanded it from her. Her opponent at the time, the Republican incumbent Scott Brown, claimed Warren used family lore to get an unfair advantage in getting hired at Harvard Law School and University of Pennsylvania Law School. So the Washington Post fact checker looked into it And they say that we found Warren's relying on family lore rather than actual documentation to make an ethnic claim raised serious concerns about Warren's judgment. So we know she claimed to be a Native American just based on family stories. But they say that's not good enough. And the Native groups that she was claiming to be a part of, they're like, hey, if you're going to, you know, say you're one of us, you've got to have something to back that up, and she didn't have it. So what do you think about that part of her claims?
I mean, it seems logical to think that somebody who grew up being told something would believe it to be true, right? I mean, what if like you were, I don't know, like told that somebody was your father for your whole life, and later in life you found out that he wasn't, you know, it's like,
yeah, but I would at least have
that he was.
I would at least have documentation to say, like, well, you know, at least I have a birth certificate. If it does turns out to not be my father, at least I had reason to believe, you know. And if I'm running for Senate and I'm going to tell the world about this stuff, I mean, the fact that we have enrollment forms, you know, matters. When I say that we're Puyallup natives, we can back that claim up.
Well, yeah. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem illogical to me that if you were told stories your whole life that you would, and the people that you loved and raised you told them that told them to you like you they were true, that you would believe them. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They just say that she maybe could have had better judgment. They didn't say she was terrible or she was horrible. She just could have done a little bit of a better job. Well, Trump started referring to her back then as Pocahontas.
Oh,
and he has not let that go.
Even now.
This is why he's back in the news. He says Elizabeth Warren is a total fraud. No, he's not. She's a total fraud. I know it. Other people work with her. They know it. She made up her heritage, which is very racist. She's a total racist, actually.
Worst Trump impersonation ever.
Because what she did was very, very racist.
Calling other people racist, really.
So that was about a year ago, back in June of 2016, okay? Elizabeth Warren says, you might think your tweets are cute, Donald Trump, but they won't stop the investigation or keep your people out of jail. So she's
fired.
Yeah, she's shooting back at him. And the tweet that he sent out specifically was, Pocahontas just stated that the Democrats, led by the legendary crooked Hillary Clinton, rigged the primaries. Let's go, FBI Justice Department. So obviously, that's bringing it all back. Everybody says, like, oh, you way to go, Donald Trump, right in the middle of Native American Heritage Month, referring to her as Pocahontas. I mean, I get what he's trying to do, basically calling her out as fake, but he probably shouldn't that way.
Wrong time to do a callback on that one.
I mean, because I don't like Elizabeth Warren either, and I think that she should have either had documentation to back up her claims or forget about it. But yeah, I don't think that calling her Pocahontas is the right way to go.
No, that's too much, and especially the bad timing of it. Like, I don't know. It's almost like going to a hurricane zone and talking about how great and beautiful this hurricane was.
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
Ridiculous. All right. I can't get that far with it.
That'll do it for us today. We'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. Hope you'll share the show with your friends. Send them to our website. Like us on Facebook. Leave us a message, as Matthew did today, 970-278-5791. See you guys next week.
Why do you never see elephants hiding in trees? Because they're really good at it.
You're listening to nativetalk.net. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.